Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am back, and this is really exciting. I'm going to be talking to Edwin Fuller, who is the author of Red Chaos, along with Gary Grossman, but he's not going to be here today. But I'm so happy to welcome Ed to the program again, because the name of the book is called Red Chaos, and it is the third book in the Red Hotel book series. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Okay, great. Well, I love your books. You know, it is so much fun. People don't always realize how exciting the life of somebody who runs a hotel chain can be. So tell us about this wonderful new book. You know, we're back to this. We never finish with the Russians, do we? So it's a timely book.
This particular book has really come out timely. And when you consider we wrote it about a year ago, it's right on target with oil.
Exactly. That's one of the things we're thinking about all the time. Every time we go to the gas pump, we think about oil. And I think people are more aware of oil now than ever before. And the scenario in this book is a little bit frightening.
That's true. And our notorious character, who is, of course, a copy of someone named Putin, is up to no good. And while he does not directly attack the country, our character uses his stealth, his organization, and above all, his ability to work around to make things happen for him. But he doesn't always get it done right.
The scenario that you pose is so close to possibility that sometimes it's frightening to think about. Because here we have a Russian president. He wants to go well beyond the Ukraine, and he's, you know, going beyond the Ukraine, beyond Latvia, and all the way to the Suez Canal. So tell us, when did you come up with this idea?
Well, what we were motivated by was, number one, climate warming is reducing ice north of the Russian country, which frankly controls the majority of the area around the North Pole. And that sources both additional oil in Russia, but more importantly, sources the transportation of goods and oil in a much better location than they've ever been. So it's interesting. Russia today has 40 icebreakers. The United States has 2. And we started pondering on that. And what we realized is you could really cut off all oil if you wanted to, if you went to some tactical locations. Well, I spent a lot of time in Egypt. I went through a couple of insurrections there, and I also spent time in Panama. So we started looking at these key locations and how they would impact the rest of the world if they were closed to traffic. And of course, that includes our friends in Iran and some of our mischief from North Korea.
And throw in a few Chinese, and we've got a heck of a story going here.
That's right. I call it a boolia base.
It is a boolia base.
We're not on the cooking channel. I'm sorry.
but it is a boolia base, and it's bubbling, and it's a little bit spicy, and it's really great. And tell us about Dan, your main character. Tell us about Dan Fuller. And Dan Fuller.
Well,
Dan Reilly.
I appreciate you uncovering the secret, but yes, Dan is me.
I know it.
And the Ed Fuller served in the Army for Vietnam and Germany. I also spent time, 22 years, running Marriott's international division of a 40-year career. But that international division and the military gave me the opportunity to experience a number of the various incidents that you find in the entire series from start to finish. I wouldn't want to give away much in Red Chaos, but you can be assured in Red Hotel that the hurricane, the bombing of the hotel in Tokyo are all very real. And so what we mix is my realities with then some of the fiction that Gary is good at putting in, and we balance it out to what we think is a thrilling story.
Well, I can tell you, I loved, when I first discovered you, love the premise of somebody in the hotel business being involved in this kind of action, because I worked for the Intercontinental Hotel in Tehran, Iran, back in the day when we had the Intercontinental, and I know that we had a nest of spies. You walk in the lobby of the Intercontinental in Tehran, and every, you know, you turn to your left, turn to your right, there were spies all over the place. American, German, French, Japanese, Chinese. So being in the hotel business is the ideal place to find out about spies and what's going on in the whole international community.
I couldn't agree with you more. And the one of our hotels in Pakistan was described as that. It was a neutral hotel, so we had the good guys and the bad guys having dinner next to each other. And then one day, when they were trying to go after the president of Pakistan with a bomb, they attacked our hotel, which we thought was fairly safe, although we had over 120 security guards. This bomb was so fierce that that ended its neutrality, and we went back to a hotel that really was very selective in who they let in.
Well, you had a Marriott hotel in Tehran. Did you ever visit Tehran?
We have a basement in Tehran. It was never finished.
Ah. Well, the Intercontinental was a big hotel then.
You were watching it being built, and it got stopped when the Shah left, because it was owned by his company.
Yeah, those were the days. Those were the days. So it's wonderful way that, you know, life works, that you never know where you will go or what you will do. I don't know if you knew that at one point you would be like a best-selling author writing these major, major books about international terrorism. What did you study in school? What did you plan to be? Did you plan to be a writer?
Well, at first I wanted to be a pilot. And when I was in the Boston University, I resolved that I really wanted to get into business. And so when I went into the Army and spent time internationally, I really got very excited. Even the year in Vietnam brought me closer to other cultures, and I realized how important that was. Then during the 40 years with Marriott, in 2011, I wrote a book called You Can't Lead with Your Feet on the Desk, which was a business book that Wiley published. And it got a lot of acceptance. It was published in China and Japan and was very successful, which then got me thinking, well, maybe I can write thrillers. I needed help. I had written the business book on my own because I knew it inside and out, but I needed someone to be a friend that could help me blend it all together, that Bouleau base again. And so that's when Gary and I linked up through another friend. Gary is a Boston University graduate, I am, and this other friend who wrote three of the James Bond novels, or not novels, screenplays, was from Boston University, and he brought us together. So very exciting times all the way around.
Well, this and book is so exciting.
We would generally work in a restaurant in Los Angeles, and we're talking about who is going to kill who, and then Gary or I look up and see people watching us, and we go, we're writing a book.
Well, you never know, because you can be in the lobby of the hotel, and really, it is. I love, after working at the Intercontinental and getting that touch of excitement of being in that international community, it is really so thrilling. And you hear so much. It's amazing. I would go from one group of people to another and find out and hear about the different things going on in their businesses. The things people talk about in the lobby of a hotel are really quite sometimes so surprising, aren't they?
Absolutely. And we all, well, let's be honest, I also taught at University of California, Irvine for 8 years. And I would always start up with the business class. It was an executive business class. And I'd say, rule number one, there are no secrets in the hotel. And they'd say, well, what do you mean? I'd say, well, we knew what one of our presidents of the United States, I'm not going to name him, I'll let you draw your own conclusions, watched on TV in our hotel in Moscow. And I could tell you, but I won't, which questionable show he watched 6 times over his 7-day stay. So the fact is, there are just no secrets. And if you get into the international intrigue, we had an incident in Vienna, and we have other incidents where we found rooms that were bugged by different organizations, and that's incorporated in this also. So it is a lot of intrigue that most people don't think about. And in the case of Vienna, that piece of equipment in the suites was always turned on when OPEC met there, because we had most of the OPEC countries in our hotel, and always turned off when they left. And we didn't realize that until we were redoing the hotel. And we said, well, who manufactured it? And the answer came back, we think it's the U.S. I said to the general manager, you're good friends with the ambassador. Why don't you walk down, get a cup of coffee, give him a wrapped box and said, I have a gift for you, and I appreciate your effort to get it into the hotel, but we'd prefer not to get it back. And the ambassador never said another word, took the box, and quite frankly, the main way we identified it was the United States was about a month after we had renovated all suites. The embassy had leased all suites for about 2 weeks, and that's when they installed them, and they had been there for over 7 years.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. People don't realize how much fun working in a hotel can be. And as I said, you never know. And the intrigue that goes on, as you said, and the knowledge that the staff has on people is really quite incredible. And of course, in the days when I worked in the hotel, they were still using what were those machines? Not the fax machine, the other one, the teletype one. They knew everything that went on with all the different businesses and all the international visitors.
Absolutely. When the Chinese Olympic Games started to get up ready, one of our staff at Marriott came in and said, "Ed, you can't do this." And they had just seen a letter indicating that the Chinese were installing listening devices in every hotel and on every electronic device in the hotel. And I looked back and I said, "We are actually helping them install it." And the person said, "Well, this is immoral." And I said, "That's not the issue. We will be out of that hotel if we don't let them. And what we're doing is notifying every guest that there is a listening device in their room." And the Chinese have said, "Okay, you can do that, because what we're really after right now is making sure there's no trouble during the Olympics." But you would know they left those machines in the hotels after the Olympics.
Well, Red Chaos is an exciting book. It's a timely book. It's one of those pulse-pounding kind of thrillers. And it exposes, I think, the web of espionage that goes on in international business and geopolitics. There's so much that people don't understand what's happening, and it's good, I think, if they read this, it's a little bit of a warning that we have to be more careful, that we have to think about the dangers out there. And you've created just a wonderful series. I love this series. It's because it is so real. It is really the kind of thing that is happening today. In any place you go, in traveling internationally, and you go, everybody stays in a hotel. You know, when I was young, one of the things is, you know, I knew, even as a young woman, when I was traveling alone, and I traveled a great deal alone, in those days I could. It was a different life, but even then it was dangerous. But I always knew to be careful in hotels. And when I visited Russia, I remember that I took a shower always wearing a nightgown, because I always knew that they would be listening in and probably looking in. And so even though I stayed in very cheap hotels in Russia, you know, still that were allowed in those days where tourists could go, I wore a nightgown in the shower because I didn't trust those people.
And you were absolutely right to do that, because in the ventilation system was their favorite place to run the cameras. And they absolutely were with you every minute of the day. And I had to stay in East Germany 5 years running before the wall came down. And there was this beautiful hotel built by a Swedish company. And so it was made for Westerners so they could get hard currency in East Germany. And the bar was just filled with very attractive women. And one of the board members that I was attending a board leaned over to me and said, "Ed, they work for the KBG, so be careful, don't make the mistake." Well, I didn't make the mistake, but then later he came to the room and said, "See the camera pointing at your bed? They would have recorded that, and you would have been in trouble."
That's it. It's so exciting. This series is so exciting, and I love, of course, everything about a hotel anyway. So everybody get this book. It's called Red Chaos, and it is another winner in the Fuller and Grossman series. You've done a wonderful job. I'll tell you one little more story about me. When I was staying at the Hilton Vienna, do you know that hotel, probably?
Yes.
I love that hotel. And just for the heck of it, I bought a Russian newspaper, and I walked through the lobby with this Russian newspaper. You know, and I did get a reaction. I had a South American guy approach me, and we got into conversation. And I'm sure he thought I was a Russian spy or something. It was so much fun. Hotel business, it's a fun business. And you've turned it into a wonderful, wonderful series. I'm so happy that you are on the program today. Ed Fuller, I know who you are. You are just a great, great a hotelier and a man who knows the international spy trade. So it's just been grand talking to you today.
Thoroughly an enjoyment from my side. And we do need to get you in those Marriott hotels.
Okay, anytime. I love Marriott hotels. Oh, I adore them. So thank you so much. You are just wonderful. I'm going to really promote this book like crazy because I know it could happen. We don't want it to happen, but it's exciting. People, put up that do not disturb and sign on your door, and don't let anybody talk to you until you finish this book. It's called Red Chaos, and it is the third book in the series, and then you'll want to go back and read the other two because it's really the story of Ed, and you are a fascinating guy, Ed.
Well, I would look forward to sitting down and having a cup of coffee with you, just as long as you did not bring a Russian newspaper, even in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, well, I'm here in Clearwater, so if you're ever in our area, please let me know, and you can come into the studio, and we can go and have lunch afterwards. How about that? A drink, probably.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
Okay, Ed Fuller, you are fantastic. I just love the book, and it's Red Chaos. Everybody, get this book. I have to say bye-bye now, but I hope next book is you're working on it, right?
Yes, the Red Ultimatum.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
We're still writing, so we're not revealing anything because we may change something, but we are on the fourth book.
Okay. I look forward to you coming into the studio someday, okay?
Look forward to it.
Okay.
Be good.
Thank you. Bye-bye
Be
now.
Be well.
Oh, and you too. Bye-bye now. Wow, he's so great. I love this book. And, oh, whenever I think about being in the hotel business, it is so exciting. Oh, my goodness, the time has just gone so quickly today. Okay, bye-bye now.